Hello there, pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob, and we have day 10 of our Jesus prayer journey, walking the way of a pilgrim. We'll pick up where we left off yesterday. Remember, our pilgrim has now found a friend in the forest who actually has an extra hut for our pilgrim to live in during the summer until they come to cut down the trees in the forest. Remember, he says, I settled down joyfully in the hut he pointed out to me for whatever time had been given to me to live there. Amen to that, right? He has a conversation with this simple brother who had offered him shelter, and he hears kind of his testimony about his life, a good life he had, a good job, prosperous, but with something missing. And he's kept hearing about this consequence of living a life separated from God, the torment of hell, right? And his friend says, there's no way I'll avoid that torment. Maybe it's time I started saving my soul. He says, maybe I could even pray my sins away. So he's lived there for more than 10 years. He eats once a day, bread and water. He gets up each day at daybreak. He says his prayers. He does his prostrations. At dawn, he burns 7 candles in front of the icons. During the day, he makes his rounds of the forest. He wears iron chains weighing 72 pounds. He says he doesn't curse anymore. He doesn't drink liquor. He doesn't get into any fights. And he's never been with a woman in his entire life. And let's pick up our story. At first, he said, I preferred this kind of life. But lately, I find myself constantly attacked by thoughts. God knows if sins can really be prayed away. And it's a hard life, you know. And then, is it really true what the book says? That dead men will be resurrected? Someone who died 100 years ago or more? Why, there's not even a speck of dust left of him. For that matter, who really knows if there will even be a hell? Right? Why, no one has ever come back from the dead. It seems to me that once a person dies, he rots and vanishes without a trace. Maybe that book was written by some clergy, by some high authorities, just to scare us fools, to make us more humble. Life is full of hardships as it is, without any consolation. And there won't be anything in the next life. So what's the point? Isn't it better to take it easy, at least in this life, and enjoy yourself? Such thoughts hound me, he continued. And I wonder if I shouldn't just go back to my old job. Listening to him speak, I sympathized and thought to myself, they say that only the educated and the intelligent are prone to free thinking and belief in nothing. But here is one of our own, a simple peasant. And what doubts he is capable of. It appears that the powers of darkness are allowed access to everyone. And perhaps it is easier for them to attack unsophisticated people. A person must acquire wisdom and strengthen himself as much as possible with the Word of God against the spiritual enemy. In an effort to help and strengthen this brother's faith as much as I could, I took out the Philokalia out of my knapsack. I opened it to chapter 109, the work of the venerable Hesychios, and read it to him. I then explained that to abstain from sin only out of fear of punishment is a useless and fruitless task. The soul cannot free itself from sins of thought other than by guarding the mind and the purity of the heart, all of which is achieved by interior prayer. Moreover, I added, the Holy Fathers say that the efforts of those who strive for salvation only from a fear of hell's torments, or even solely from a desire to enter the kingdom of God, are mercenary. They say that to fear suffering is the way of the servant, while to desire a reward in the kingdom is the way of the mercenary. Yet, God desires that we come to Him as sons, that we be honest and delight in the redemptive union with Him in our hearts and souls, but only out of love and devotion to Him. No matter how you wear yourself out with physical labors and struggles, if you do not keep the remembrance of God in your mind and the Jesus prayer in your heart, you will never find peace from these thoughts, and you will always be easily swayed by sin, even the smallest temptations. Why don't you start practicing the Jesus Prayer, I said. It would be possible and even easy for you to do with the solitude you have, and you will be able to see its benefits in no time. No godless thoughts will besiege you, and you will acquire faith and love for Jesus Christ. Then you will know how it is that the dead will be resurrected, and you will be given to understand the last judgment as it really will take place. Your heart will be so free of burdens and so full of joy from this prayer that you will be amazed. You'll no longer feel lonely, and you'll no longer doubt the purpose of the efforts you make toward your salvation. Then I explained to him how to begin saying the Jesus Prayer and how to repeat it continuously, as the Word of God instructs us and the Holy Fathers teach. He seemed willing to do this and was much calmer now. I took leave of him then and shut myself up in the ancient mud hut that he had told me about. My God, what joy, peace, and delight I knew the moment I set foot in that cave, or better yet, tomb. It seemed to me to be the most magnificent palace, filled with every joy and consolation. I thanked God with tears of joy and thought. Well, now, with all this peace and quiet, I must seriously get back to my task, asking the Lord to guide me. So I began by reading the Philokalia very carefully, starting with the first chapter and going all the way to the end. It did not take too long to read it through, and I realized what wisdom, holiness, and depth it contained. Yet it covered so many different subjects and contained so many different teachings of the Holy Fathers that I was unable to understand everything or to piece together all that I wanted to learn, especially about interior prayer, so that I could draw from it the knowledge of how to attain to the unceasing, self-acting prayer of the heart. I longed for this, in keeping with God's commandment, and as it was spoken through His apostle, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. And again, do not quench the Spirit. Amen.